and welcome to United Way Cares on KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. My name is Tracy Gurley-Tomaszewski, and I am the Executive Director for United Way Battlement to the Bells. United Way Battlement to the Bells' mission is to improve lives by mobilizing the caring power of communities throughout the Roaring Fork, Crystal, and Colorado River valleys, from Battlement Mesa to Aspen, and to advance the common good for all, focusing on education, financial well-being, and health. We work to support local nonprofits through funding and now with the United Way Battlement to the Bells AmeriCorps Vista Project. Today I have Christy Doyen, the Executive Director of CASA of the Ninth, and Megan Byrne here to tell us more about the good work that's being done through CASA of the Ninth. Welcome, Christy. Welcome, Megan.
Hi, Tracy. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And Megan is actually working for both United Way and CASA of the Ninth as an AmeriCorps Vista volunteer. So if you want more information about CASA of the Ninth, you can visit their website at casaoftheninth.org. So how are you guys today?
Oh, pretty good. Thanks for having us. It's busy time of year for us at CASA.
It is. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's going on?
Yeah, so we were able to just swear in one of our largest cohorts of volunteers, so we're really excited that many more children in our area will now get volunteer advocates, giving them a voice in dependency and neglect court. And we also have our largest fundraising event of the year coming up on Saturday, the CASA Superhero Run at Crown Mountain Park in El Jebel. It's a 5K race starting at 9:30 and a kids 1 mile fun run at 11, as well as Blue Lake Preschool's annual pumpkin patch and family carnival. So it's a really big day and we're really excited for it.
I plan on being there with my family in tow. It will be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, we're really excited. There's going to be a bouncy house and face painting and the library's coming, and we'll just have all sorts of activities in addition to the race. There's a costume contest with prizes for all of you who enjoy getting dressed up as superheroes.
Yay!
There's some drawings and, again, the race, either a walk run or a run if you actually want to try to win one of the medals.
I do. Not really. No. But and Megan, what a fun time for you to start. You kind of came on right as this is ramping up, so you're getting to see a lot of what's going on.
Yeah, I've been able to stay busy my first few weeks here and learn more about the program and this event, and I'm excited for the day.
Are you planning on dressing up?
That I'm not sure. I was looking at some photos last year of the costume ideas, so we'll see.
Yeah, I could totally see you as Wonder Woman.
Definitely.
How many CASAs did you swear in?
We just swore in six. Six new CASAs. One of them actually lives in Meeker because our three counties that we serve are Pitkin, Garfield, and Rio Blanco counties. And normally we have to have a separate training up there, but we've started using Zoom meetings. So our volunteers who live farther away don't have to drive the hour and a half to the trainings.
Right.
So we're pretty excited about that.
That's so brilliant. So given that you've just sworn in a larger cohort of CASA volunteers, you're still short.
Yeah, unfortunately we are. I think at any given time, there are about 40 to 50 open cases of dependency and neglect in our whole jurisdiction, the Ninth Judicial District. So at any given time, we need about 40 to 50 CASA volunteers.
Wow.
Right now, we have 27. So we need about, 13 to 15 more. One thing that we've been really trying to highlight the last few months is that couples can actually serve on a case together, whether that be, married couples or colleagues or friends. Someone that you think you could work on a case with the whole time it's open. So that might be 1 to 2 years. Meeting with the kids who've been abused or neglected about twice a month, and then also writing their court reports, going to court on their behalf, and making recommendations to the judge on the child's best interest. So it is a lot. Unfortunately, our caseworkers in our area are spread pretty thin.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need just someone else to make sure that, you know, maybe a kid who's not doing well in school is getting extra tutoring, or maybe a toddler who's not meeting her developmental levels is maybe going to be an occupational therapy. So it's just someone else to say, hey, this is how the kid is doing. These are my observations. These are my recommendations.
Okay.
So it's a big job. And our volunteers are some of the most compassionate and driven people I've ever met.
Absolutely. I actually had the privilege of being your guest at Pony Up, an event. It was a private event. Casey Concrete, Travis Stewart, and his wife,
Cresta Stewart.
Cresta Stewart, right. They had this event, and it benefited Casa of the Ninth, which was amazing. But while we were there, we got to hear one of the Casa volunteers talk a little bit more about her experience being a Casa. And can you remind me a little bit of that story?
Lindsay Gould, she's been one of our longest-serving volunteers, and she's worked on a few cases. So she kind of gave the highlights of some of the struggles the children have had that she's worked with. Both of those children she talked about actually got to go home. They both were able to get reunified with their parents, and that's always our number one goal. So that, she had some happy stories after, you know, the parents got some substance abuse treatment, some mental health treatment, got a stable place to live, got a job, and now the children are in healthy, loving environments back with their parents.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's always the ideal if we can have that situation.
It's restorative, and I think that's what people sometimes miss is once they've entered, especially the legal system, that I'm going to lose my children. This is all going to fall apart. I think what people misunderstanding is it is a restorative system. For the most part, we want to see you with your children.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. We always want kids to go home, ideally. And then if that's not going to be a safe situation, then maybe they can go live with grandma and grandpa or aunts and uncles. And so just as long as a child has a safe, loving home, that's always the ideal outcome that
Absolutely.
We want.
I really appreciated from Lindsay's stories just hearing how she was able to really support the children. And I think that's unique to being a CASA volunteer is you really are there for the kids.
Right.
And the question may be what it is, but the answer, we always try to make it yes and do what's best for kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got from her. So can you tell me what typical CASA services might look like?
Yeah, so we have a very specific MOU with the court. The only cases we are allowed to work with are dependency and neglect cases. So those come in as children who have been abused or neglected or witnessed domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And DHS has decided that a dependency and neglect petition needs to be filed. So oftentimes, the child will be removed from home and put either in a foster home or put with relatives while the parents are working on their treatment plan. These cases are typically open 1 to 2 years, and the CASAs, like I was saying, they meet with the children twice a month. They make recommendations to the court on their behalf. They really get to know a child's situation. They'll talk with the foster parents. They'll talk with the biological parents, maybe teachers or coaches, just to really see how the child is doing. And in part, it's just because, again, we have so much respect for the other people that we work with, the caseworkers, the guardians ad litem, the county attorneys, the respondent parent councils. Everyone wants what's best, but we're able to focus just on one child or sibling group. Sometimes there might be 2 to 3 to 4 children on a case.
Okay.
And so that's who really we get to focus on. And we want the parents to do well, but we don't have as much control over what the parents are doing. So as long as we can advocate for the children, that's really our focus.
I think that's so amazing. So let's say someone wants to become a CASA. Obviously, they can go to your website, casaoftheninth.org, to learn more. But what is involved with becoming a CASA volunteer?
Oh, thanks for asking that. It's actually a pretty lengthy process. We want to make sure that people who are working with some children who have really suffered suffered some trauma have someone who's stable and responsible and safe. So to become a CASA volunteer, yes, like you said, you can visit our website or give us a call at 970-987-4332 to talk with myself or with one of our advocate supervisors, Laura Horst, Mary Rippey, or Brittany Schunk, and they'll chat with you to just really see what it is that you're interested in doing and also to kind of give you a picture of what it might look like to be a CASA volunteer. Then there are actually two interviews. So there's the brief one, and then there's a more thorough, in-depth two-person interview. And then there's some background screenings, and then there's the training. So with our training, we actually use a national CASA curriculum. We are part of a national network of nonprofits, and it's a 30-hour training. So it's 20 hours in person and 10 hours online. So that might be 4 Thursday nights in a row. It might be a Tuesday, Thursday, Tuesday, Thursday. It might be 2 weekends. So it really depends on what the class of volunteers is interested in doing and what works for their schedule. Once they complete all 30 hours, then they get sworn in by a judge as a friend of the court. And then they work with the advocate supervisor on selecting a case that they would be appropriate for or that they're interested in doing. Maybe it's because of location. A lot of our children are placed in foster homes from Glenwood to Parachute. It might be ages. Some of our CASA volunteers say, I really don't want to work with older children or I don't want to work with younger children.
Sure.
We really try to work with our CASAs on getting them a case that they're excited to help with.
Right. And Megan, you had an opportunity to volunteer with another CASA in a different area. Where were you when that was?
I was in La Crosse, Wisconsin with the YWCA CASA Cooley Region program there. And I was an intern.
Okay.
So I did a lot of social media work for them. And I attended court on Tuesdays, and I did the 30-hour training, but I never did get to be paired with a child because I had relocated after my time there.
Sure. So, obviously, you have a passion for the work that's being done at CASA of the Ninth, and you're carrying over your social media skills to support this CASA as well. Just how it is you chose to be in AmeriCorps Vista.
Yeah, so a few years ago, my parents decided to become foster parents for my two younger cousins, and they had lived with us for over 10 years, and that whole experience just really changed my perspective, and I learned a lot of things about the foster care system, and that really just increased my passion for children, and I hadn't heard of AmeriCorps before until a couple of my classmates from high school had done it. And one of my college professors had mentioned it to me because they knew that I had a passion for traveling and that with AmeriCorps you can relocate. So after looking into AmeriCorps, I had just looked for positions that had to do with youth development and community service because those were my two passions, as well as social media marketing as well. And something came up in Glenwood Springs where there was a position with CASA of the Ninth. And I immediately applied for that because I hadn't found another CASA program with AmeriCorps specifically for the year that I had been looking to do AmeriCorps. And so I applied and I had gotten it. And that is where it led me to today.
Yeah. And so you're new here, which is...
Yeah, I'm from Minnesota.
Yeah. But you're really, from what I can tell, digging in and really getting to know the community.
Yes, I'm a go-getter.
Yeah, you sure are. So this last weekend, I know you did some hiking and you were...
I was at a winery and got some peaches.
Where were you?
Palisade.
Palisade.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's been kind of fun for, I think, at least me. I'm sure Christy can say the same, but it feels like watching you learn about the area and discover things is, it reminds me, oh yeah, that's available, that's out there. That's,
oh yeah,
something that you kind of forget about once you've lived here for a period of time.
Yeah,
for so, sure. Living vicariously through you as
you should.
As having a 2-year-old makes it a little more challenging to do the wineries, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. And you're also working for United Way.
Yes.
Which we are forever grateful for.
Thank you.
When you become a Vista, there is a measure of sacrifice that comes with that. But what is it that you find you're getting out of AmeriCorps Vista, or what are some of the perks?
I would say the perks so far, the 3 weeks I've been here, definitely the people. It's all about who you know and the connections you make. I don't know if it'd be a perk, but like financially, just learning how to live below your means, mm-hmm. and find resources and things to do that are free, has really already taught me a lot. And I know that's going to challenge me moving forward. And I'm just someone who really looks for things that challenge me, as odd as that might sound. So yeah, those two things definitely are what I can think of.
Right. And as you are finishing up your year, which you've just started,
yeah.
What are you kind of hoping to take away, and what is your next plan at this point?
Yeah, so overall, I'm hoping to gain leadership skills that I can use in the workplace wherever I go next. And just in general, I hope to work with children, since I'm just very passionate about that population. Specifically in the foster care system would be ideal. I do have an interest to be a guardian ad litem, although I know I would probably have to go back to school for that. So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to when I'm finished with my year here.
So what is a guardian ad litem?
Guardians ad litem, or GALs is okay. They're referred to, are basically the attorneys for the children that we work with.
Oh.
So they have the legal best interest in mind of the children. And every child in a dependency neglect case will have a caseworker and a GAL.
Wow.
They might or might not have a CASA volunteer depending on availability of a CASA and the severity of a case. But okay. they know all the statutes. They know the Colorado Children's Code. And so they're very strong advocates as well for the children who have been abused or neglected in the DNN system.
That's amazing. So that would require law school, I'm assuming, Megan?
I don't know the specifics, but okay. Something along the lines of that.
I would think so. So, but that is part of being in AmeriCorps Vista, is it does give you some, I guess, a leg up when you're applying for law school, graduate school, medical school. So that's exciting. And being in AmeriCorps Vista comes with some student loan forgiveness, or
correct,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Which from what I can tell, it kind of comes to around $6,000.
I believe
for
so.
A year.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's exciting. That gives you your next steps, which is
yeah,
really great. So let's talk a little bit more about your fundraiser.
Yeah, thank you. This is actually our second year hosting the race. Last year, we decided we needed to try something fun that's welcoming to families. We really try to have events that involve all families, not just, some of the galas and the dinners for adults, but something that kids can come to as well. We love it when the clients we work with can come to our events. That doesn't always happen, but we definitely try to get them involved. And last year we had, I think, our youngest participants were in strollers, and I think the oldest were in their 60s. So we do try to have people across all ages, and it is rain or shine. So we want people to know if it is raining, just, you know, prepare to get a little muddy. half the 5K is a trail run, so there will be some dirt and mud involved. The kids fun run is just on pavement, so the kids won't be getting muddy.
But they have a good time.
Oh yeah, this year we're adding a few more fun activities, such as a slip and slide finish line.
Wow.
So last year it was nice and sunny, so we thought, well, if it's nice and sunny again, maybe people would like to finish a more fun way. And this year we're also adding some prizes, thanks to some of our in-kind donors, while we're doing the costume contest. So we had some amazing sponsors this year. Alpine Bank is our presenting sponsor, and Grace Church, Holy Cross Energy, and U.S. Bank are our incredible sponsors, which are the next tier. So
that's great.
Yeah, our community has been really supportive of Cost of the Ninth this year, and we're really thankful for all of that.
I feel like people under your leadership specifically have really started to learn what CASA is doing. And for you.
Thank you. I know my predecessors worked on this as well, but we're fairly young. We've only been in the Valley for 7 years, mm-hmm. where nationally CASAs have been around for about 30 or 35 years.
Okay.
There are 18 CASA organizations in Colorado. Like I said, spread out per each judicial district. And we do work with our neighbors. We do trainings with the other CASA organizations. So it is a really strong collaboration. If we're dealing with an issue, there's a very good chance that CASA in Mesa County has had the same struggle. Or, you know, maybe CASA of the Continental Divide over in Eagle and Summit, they have questions for us. So we do try to collaborate, especially with the strange shape of the Roaring Fork Valley. El Jebel, Eagle County, is actually a different judicial district. So those children are served by the 5th Judicial District. So,
oh my gosh.
We actually get quite a few volunteers that live there, but they work and are with us because they don't want to have to drive over to Eagle.
I see. Wow, that's complicated.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't realize that was... part of what you had to deal with. We, obviously, United Way represents Battlement Mesa to Aspen, including the Crystal River Valley all the way up to Redstone. And we kind of have license to do whatever it is we need to do, which is great. It sounds like we have a similar setup, that we have this larger network that we can pull from at any time. But you operate as your own independent nonprofit?
Right, yeah. And so it is really helpful with our marketing. That's one thing I've been... trying to connect Megan with is some of our national marketing materials. We're doing a big push statewide with our new marketing campaign. And actually, we're really honored. One of our CASA volunteers here in Carbondale actually was selected to direct our national campaign video. So
wow.
It was a really big honor. I don't know if you know Tyler Stableford, but we were so impressed with his work, and National CASA was so impressed that he actually made the videos for our national marketing campaign.
That's exciting. So local impact is making a national splash.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. Well, I can't thank you guys enough for being here. I know that sometimes it's hard to take time away to come and record with me, but I really appreciate you being here. And Megan, for putting you on the spot. I think you did a great job.
Glad to be here.
Megan found out this morning I was doing this, and she just jumped right in.
I sure did.
That's the spirit of both CASA and United Way, I would say.
Yeah.
So, again, thank you for your time. And
if I can encourage people again to show up.
Yes, absolutely.
9 a.m. Saturday morning.
Yes.
At Crown Mountain Park.